Okay, Rabbeinu Bechai, Parshas Vayetze. So Rabbeinu Bechai begins with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perikid Aleph, Pasukid Aleph, that says, Bebirkas Yesharim Tarum Keres, or Keres, Ubefi Yesharim Tehares. With the blessing of straight ones, the city will be raised, and with the mouth of evil people, it will be destroyed. So that's pretty self-explanatory. Rabbeinu Bechai explains that someone who is a Yashar, a straight person, so besides that they help out people who come to them, they're also a blessing for the whole city, and the city benefits from them being there. Even if you didn't personally interact with this person, with this Yashar, he has an effect, or she has an effect on the whole city, and it'll raise the level of the city and bring blessing to the whole city. And the opposite, a Rasha, they're bad to deal with, but they could destroy a whole city with their mouth, with the things they say or what they do or what they cause. So when a Rasha is in a city, it can not just destroy people near him, it can ruin the whole city, whereas a tzaddik is the opposite. A tzaddik, when you come close to them, they help you, and they're a blessing to the whole city. And that's how we get into, of course, Parshas Vayetze, which begins with Vayetze Yaakov v'Be'er Shav. Chazal tell us that when a tzaddik leaves a city, it leaves a Rosha. That's why he's talking about that. Okay, next. We have Yaakov passing the Makom HaMikdash, and he comes there and he says, "Ma nora ha-makom hazeh, ein zeh kim beis Elokim v'zeh shar ha-shamayim." How awesome is this place? This is the beis Elokim, this is the gates to heaven. So there's a medrash that says that Hashem showed Yaakov Avinu the beis HaMikdash when it was built, destroyed, and built again. And how does it learn? It says, because it says, "Ma nora ha-makom hazeh," that refers to the beis HaMikdash when it was built. Ein zeh, when it's ein zeh, it is not, that refers to when it was destroyed. V'zeh shar ha-shamayim, that refers to when it is rebuilt. So Rabbeinu Bechai explains, if that's the case, and you only covered two batei mikdash, but there's three. Two were destroyed, one's going to be rebuilt. So he says, maybe you can explain the pasuk like this. Zeh refers to the Shechina. Like we said, zeh keli v'anvehu, zeh refers to the Shechina. So he says, ma nora ha-makom ha-zeh, how Nor is this place, that's the Beis HaMikdash number one. Okay. Then Ein Zeh, that refers to Beis HaMikdash number two, because there was no Shechina. The Shechina wasn't sure in the second Beis HaMikdash. So that's Ein Zeh. And then Ein Zeh Kim Beis HaKim V'zeh Shar HaShamayim, and that refers to the third Beis HaMikdash that will have the Shechina, and it's called Shar HaShamayim because it will have been built by Shamayim, meaning people are not going to build it like the first and second Beis HaMikdash, rather it's going to be built from Shamayim. Okay, and he says similar remez to such things as in Parshas Tetzaveh. He points out the first pasuk of Parshas Tetzaveh, it says you'll take for the menorah, Shemen Zayis Zach Kasis Lama'or L'Ha'alos Ner Tamid. So you'll have the word kusis, it means to crush. So crushed olive oil, from a crushed olive oil. So kusis is a remez to the two batei mikdash, because the first one lasted 410 years, second one lasted 420 years. So that's the lashon kusis. It's right, the gematria, right? Kusis is 410 and 420. The words tafyud and taf and chaf, and that's but lahalos ner tamid. The last one will be never destroyed. That will never stop. Okay, that's his remez. Fine. Then we have Yaakov pours shemen on the matzeva that he made. So Rabbeinu Bechai just points out that was like being makriv a carbon. Pouring the oil over the matzeva was like being makriv a carbon on the mizbeach. That's what that was. And he says he calls it Beisel and Ulam Luz Shema Ir LaRishona, but it used to be called Luz. So Rabbeinu Bechai asks, who in the world cares what it used to be called? Why is the Torah telling us that? So he says, because we're talking about the Makom HaMikdash over here. So he says, because that's the place where the world was created from. And just like in the Luz is a bone in the body that it says when there's Tchias HaMesim, rather, when Hashem does Tchias HaMesim, will start from the Luz, the bone that's called the Luz, that isn't destroyed, and that will regrow the person. So too, because that's where it started from. So that's like the Beis HaMikdash is a place where the world was created from. That's why it was called Luz. Okay, then we have the pasuk says, V'yidu Yaakov neder leimor. Yaakov makes a neder. But it says leimor. What in the world does leimor mean? To tell who? So he just brings the drash of Chazal. It's to tell us that you're supposed to make nedarim in Mishas Tzara. You're supposed to promise things and make a neder to do something for Hashem or give something to Hashem in the time of Tzara. that it should be a schus for the person. And even though normally we don't make nedarim, but letzarech mitzvah, it's mutter. Okay, and he davened that Hashem should give him lechem leachov beged lebosh. Pretty simple request, simple life. He just wants food and clothing. So Rabbeinu Bachai says that a person should, you learn from this that a person shouldn't ask for big stuff, not because they don't want big stuff. I mean, a person shouldn't want big stuff. A person should live a life where they don't go after fancy stuff. And they're sameach bechalkam. That doesn't mean because you can't afford more. It means because you should want a little, because a person, like he says, a person will be much happier being happy with a little, because that Hashem will always give you, like, you know, to survive. You can have bitachon Hashem that I'll send you that. As opposed to riches, you know, maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. It's better to be happy with a little and not make yourself crazy, have bitachon Hashem, than to need a lot of fancy stuff. And he says that this is what happened at the Mon. They got the basics, right? The Mon fell every day, but Hashem didn't let them store it, so they, you know, they'd have to trust in Hashem. And because they had bitachon in Hashem every day, so therefore Hashem sent them Mon the next day. So that's where we're supposed to have bitachon in the Ribono Shel Olam, that'll give us what we need and not want fancy stuff. And he says that, you see, so the Torah is not, it doesn't, even for kings, right? We, by kings it says, Lo yarbe lo nashim, v'kesef zahav, lo yarbe ma'od. Even a king shouldn't be too rich. It's not good for a person to be too into materialism, even if they are billionaires. It doesn't matter. They're not supposed to be into materialism too much. That's what we learn from Yaakov. And he also points out that Hashem gives parnasa to everything, the animals in the world, everything. And that which we need more is available more, like you need air the most. That's everywhere. You need water second. There's plenty of that. The things you don't need so much, like diamonds and stuff, that's less. Things a person actually needs, Hashem provides. And that's actually, I think, from the Chabos HaLevavos says the same thing, who is not this Rabbeinu Bachai. It's a different Rabbeinu Bachai. Okay, next. Then we have, so that Yaakov promises Aser Asrenu Lach. Whatever I get, I'll give you miser. What is that? So he says, Rabbeinu Bachai says a couple times, that Yaakov gave a tenth to Hashem. How is it a tenth? So here's the cheshbon. Yaakov had 12 sons, except Yosef had two sons, which Ephraim and Manasseh, that became Shvatim on their own. They got a total of 14. 14 sons, okay. So the Bechors don't count, because Bechors are Kodesh on their own, so they can't patter anything, so you're left with 10 sons. Of the 10, Levi becomes holy for the Beis HaMikdash, so that's how he gave Miser. Okay. Then it says that Yaakov comes to Laban's house and he sees Rachel. So it keeps saying, now the thing is, if you read the psukim in their simple words, it sounds like he thought, you know, Yaakov, I mean, I'll say this about the Elvis, Yaakov saw her, he thought she was pretty, and that's why he kissed her, and that's why he was, he thought she was pretty, so he was so able to move that rock off the well, which took three shepherds can do it. Yaakov comes, he sees Rachel, boom, knocks off the rock off the well, and he kisses her, and then he works for her 7 years. All this is because Yaakov was so full of taiva. Of course not. That's what the psukim sound like, but that's not the way Chazal understand it. So rather, Rabbeinu Bachai explains that Yaakov came and saw Rachel, and it says, Rachel achi imo, and it keeps repeating achi imo, that it was his the daughter of his uncle. So, but with the uncle who was the brother of his mother. Why does he keep saying that? So he explains, because everything he did was because of Achimo, in other words, it was his mother's relative, and that's why he was trying to help Rachel out, and she was 5 years old at the time, and therefore when he kissed her, he just kissed her on the head, he says, and it was, he cried, it says, because he, it was a relative, that's what relatives do when they haven't seen each other, so he was, it was his uncle's, his cousin, his uncle's daughter, so that's why I keep saying Acheimo. Everything was Mishum Ahavas Imo, because it was you know, a relative and someone who was close to his mother, and he cried over seeing her. He kissed her on the head, and that's that. But as far as the working for her for 7 years, So that needs an explanation because it seems really strange. If you look at the psukim, it looks like Yaakov came in, said hello to Lavan, and said, I'll work 7 years for your daughter. So his opening bid for Rachel was, I'll work for you 7 years. Or Ben Amichai points out, I mean, when we read it, that's what we think. 7 years? Are you kidding me? But, you know, you think, well, maybe, I don't know what it was like back then. Ben Amichai asks this question, 7 years? Are you kidding me? Why was that his opening bid? You know, when you do negotiations, let Lavan say something, and then you negotiate down. You know, Yaakov walked in there, his opening bid was 7 years. That's a long time. Why in the world did he come in there and offer 7 years? So, Rabbeinu Bechai says, because she was 5 years old. It was 5 plus 7, 12. In other words, he wanted to wait till she became a gedola, and therefore he offered to work for her for that long. And it says that these 7 years were kiyama machadim, were like a few days. So Rabbeinu Bechai explains, what do you mean like a few days? He's waiting 7 years. It should be every day should kill him, like everybody famously asks. Kiyama machadim. In other words, the tircha was kiyama machadim. Okay, now we have that, we know from Chazal that Yaakov learned in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Aver 14 years before he went to Lavan. Where do you see a remez to that? So Chazal darshan it from the cheshbon of the years. But he sees, Rabbeinu Bechai sees a remez in what Yitzchak told Yaakov. He said, go kachalcha isha, that he understood that Yitzchak had two meanings when he told Yaakov, go there, kachalcha isha. The Torah is compared to an isha, like isha is chayla miyimtza. The Torah is compared to an isha, and Yitzchak had a hidden meaning and an open meaning, and both were intended, and Yaakov understood, and he went first to go learn Torah, and then to go take an isha. Okay, then we have the question that many ask. It says that Yaakov said, give me Rachel, after he's tricked with Leah, it says, give me Rachel, vavoa eleha. So, sorry, before he was tricked with Leah, when he 7 years were up, he said, give me my wife, vavoa eleha. So Chazal asks, you know, what does it mean, vavoa? That's not the way you talk. That's you mean I'll marry her, vavoa eleha seems crass. So the pshat is, so that's what Chazal tells us, that it was, that's all, Yaakov was only interested in having children and doing mitzvah. So just Rabbeinu Bechai explains more globally that with all the discussions of Yaakov and the Imahos, they were like malachim, and their only interest was to have children, which is part of why, like he said before, that he waited till she was 12. He wanted to wait till she was 12 because that's the only time it's right to have children, not before. So his whole tachlis, all of there, both the Yaakov, the Avos, and the Imos were just to do mitzvos. So when they talked like that, it's because, like, you know, like Adam and Rish and Chava Kodem Achet, they didn't wear clothes because it was nothing to them. It's only once they from the Eitz Hadas it became different. So Yaakov, I'm not going to say he was quite there, I assume, but close in the sense that he said Avoyla because it was to him that all he was so kadosh that he just wanted mitzvos. And you see a riot of this, he says, from Rachel, when Rachel bought the Dudayim, and so Yaakov went to Leah that night, so it says, Rachel, shel zilzula b'mishkavo shel tzadik lo zachta liyikavar imo. Rachel, who was lax with being with Yaakov, so she wasn't zochah to be buried with him. That's a taiva thing? Obviously not. It means, what does it mean, zilzula b'mishkavo shel tzadik? Because all they wanted was to have children so that they can have shvatim, because these were klal Yisrael, this was shiftei kah, and therefore it's not something to be mezalzel, and that's, they were all mechavin, it was all mitzvahs for them. And that's something to remind ourselves of when we have mirtz Hashem zocha to children. It's not 12 shvatim necessarily, but it's raising klal Yisrael, and it's a big mitzvah. Okay, then we have the maklos. So Yaakov had this trick, it seems, with the sticks, that he would, depending on how you shaved that staff, so if you shaved off a little bit, spots here and there, the goat or the sheep or whatever would be spotted. You left it all covered, it would be stay brown. If you left cut the whole thing off, it would be all the sheep or goat, whatever, would have one that's all white. The point, it was this trick that when the sheep or the goats or whatever, they would about to reproduce or procreate. So as long as they would look at these staffs And since they would see it right as they were in the act, it would cause the child to look like that. It would cause the child of the sheep to look like what spotted, depending on what it was looking at, the spotted staff, or then it would have a spotted sheep. So Rabbeinu Bachai says this is a mixture of teva and nes. Teva, as in, yes, there is something to this, that what you look at the time of, or what you're thinking about, is more like, and not so much what you're looking at, but what's going through your mind does affect, during the time of procreation, does affect what the child will be. But it's an ace, meaning if the sheep was white, and then you hold up a staff, and it's spotted, and the kid is spotted, well, that's a miracle. I mean, if two parents are one way, and the child is, if you have two white parents and the child is not white, though, how'd that happen? No matter what you're looking at, right? That is nes. So he says it's a mix. It's a mix of nes and teva. There's a little bit there with teva because it does have an effect, but to have that kind of effect where it totally changes it, okay, that was a nes. So he says all nesim, Rabbeinu Bachai says, as many said, all nesim, we should always try to throw in something that makes it a little bit tevatic. In other words, Yaakov knew from the Malach that he was going to get rich off this, and he was going to have whatever the children of the sheep, the kids of the sheep, or the goats would be what he wanted it to be. That was going to be an ace, but he did this thing with the staff, so that it adds a little bit of teva to it, a little bit of nature to it. It's not such a miracle, because you don't want such a miracle, because first of all, Shem doesn't like doing biggest miracles unless necessary, and also Ayin Hara is Sholeit whenever there are big miracles. So if you remember the story of Elisha, when that lady who he promised a child, and then she died, and then she went to get Elisha, and he sent Gehazi with his staff. He said, you know, to put the staff on the dead child, and it'll come back to life, but don't talk to anybody. And he did, and so it didn't work. Why didn't he want it to talk to anybody? He didn't want him to talk about it, because then it's an Ayin Hara, because then it doesn't work. And it didn't work. So, and we all see, even by Har Sinai, it says, we have a Lashon of Chazal, that since there was an Ayin Hara, so since there was such a big miracle by such a big, you know, kolos of rakim, lightning, thunder, and the whole mountain on fire by Har Sinai, so Shelta Be Yitzhara, and that's why, Ayin Hara rather, and that's why the Luchos Rishonos were broken, that's the Luchos Shnias did not have that. All this is from Rabbeinu Bachai, he says all these things. Okay, that's the story with the staffs. Also, you see from this, obviously, that when a person is Bishas Tashmish, they should be Mekadosh themselves, because what they're thinking about affects what their kids will be, if by an animal, certainly by a human. And what does this mean to be Mekadosh Atzmo Bishas Tashmish? To be thinking about Ishto and nothing else. Okay, then we have the story of the Trufim. The Trufim, the Ramban says, the things that Rachel stole, the idols from Lavan, those are the Trufim. So the Trufim, the Ramban tells us, are these things helped you know the future. So one way or another, they helped know the future. Something about shows, whether they told you the right times to do things, whatever, they helped you know about the future. So we get all the gory details from Rabbeinu Bachai, who brings the Medrash of exactly what this was. It's pretty gory, just FYI before you hear this. You shecht a human b'chor, salt them, then you take this golden tzitz and you write some shame of tumah on it, stick it under the guy's tongue, you light, hang the guy up, light candles, bow down to him, and then they tell you the future. Okay, just letting you know. That's what the Trufim were exactly. That's what love, according to that, Rachel stole, because she wanted it out of her house, father's house, because it was an Avodah Zarah. Okay. So Rachel, they run away. Yaakov, Rachel, everybody runs away, and Rachel stole the Trufim. And Lavan meets him, and Yaakov says, if not for Pachad Yitzchak Aviv, he would have been toast. What does it mean, Pachad Yitzchak? Rabbeinu Bachai says that's what was Yitzchak afraid of? What was the Pachad Yitzchak? So one of them was when he gave the bracha to Yaakov and he made a mistake, and he found Esav walks in, he makes a mistake and says, Vayechren Yitzchak Charanda Gadoli, he was very afraid. At that time, Yitzchak said, well, all right, whatever, Gam Baruch Yeh, he's still going to be blessed. So that's what he meant by Pachad Yitzchak, meaning the brachas that Yitzchak gave me, if not for that fear of Yitzchak, meaning the brachas that I got, I would have been toast. Okay, now we have a very fascinating thing. Lavan comes and says, Yaakov says, you search through all my stuff, I don't have anything of yours. Lavan says, oh yeah, habanim banayva habanos b'nosai. So what does he mean, habanos b'nosai, habanim banai? I'm sorry, the other way. The banim banai. What does he mean by the banim banai? Banos banai, he had daughters. Okay. What is banim banai? What does it mean the sons are my sons? What sons? These were not his sons, Leah and Rachel. It means the grandsons. B'nei banim harim kebanim. So listen to it. Rabbi Hananel says this was a lie. Because even though we have a klal, b'nei banim harim kebanim, but we do not have a rule, it is not true that had b'nei banos harim kebanim. That is not true. Hear that? That's a big chiddush. He says, again, that the sons of sons are considered b'nei banim harim kebanim, but this is from Rabbi Hananel, but the sons of daughters are not considered sons. So that's a machlokas, actually, Bavli and Yerushalmi, the Gemara in Yevamos, Samach Beis, brings this and disagrees with Rabbeinu Hananel and says, no, that it is. In fact, it brings our pasuk. Now, as Gemara in Yevamos says, do we say by that, b'nei banim harim kebanim? And tries to prove him from this pasuk and says, well, it says that's son sonai, and that was a lie, so don't listen to Lavan, he's just full of baloney. So it brings it from another pasuk, and it comes out that it is b'nei banos harim kebanim. However, the Yerushalmi disagrees. The Yerushalmi holds lamaskana that it is not true. The b'nei banos are not kebanim. So, b'nei Hananel here may be going like the Yerushalmi. That's possible. Or maybe not. Maybe, whatever pshat you want to say. He says that Lavan was mistaken here, or lying. And he says, because of Lavan Bamro, he lied. When he said, banam banai, because b'nei banam are not kebanos. I guess a simple reading of that is like the Yerushalmi. I guess we can leave it at that. Okay, then we have the gal that they made the bris, the covenant between the two of them, Yaakov and Lavan. So they made the gal, and it says twice that they the gal hazeh, and then the gal, it says the word gal twice. And Rabbi Abachai says the reason it says gal two times, it's a remez because that's what Lavan had in mind. He wanted his god was Gal Gal. What's that? The sun. The Gal Gal, the sun. He was worshipping the sun. So that's why he says it twice. Vikhu avanim vayasu Gal vayokhlu sham al ha-Gal. Gal twice is a remez to Gal Gal. He was the sphere of the sun. That's what he worshipped. That was his god that he was worshipping, was the sun. One last point. It says that, Rabbeinu B'chai rather says, Aram Naharaim, it's at the end of the parasha, just mentions Daaki Aram Naharaim hu Damascus. He says Aram Naharaim is Damascus. So that's just interesting. A lot of the Mefarshim jump on that and say, no, that is not true. Aram Naharaim is Haran, and Haran is Mesopotamia. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes. Mesopotamia is in Greek, the land between the two rivers. It's between Euphrates and I forget the name of the other one, Tigris, I guess. So that's what Mesopotamia meant, the land between the two rivers. And that is not Damascus. That's, I think, Iraq somewhere. All right, we'll end it here.